will call our Funding and Development and Extension Education meeting to order. For attendance right now, it's Supervisor Gashke, Supervisor Bashaw, Supervisor Franco, and Youth and Governance Sisel and Kruhagen are here. All right, just to verify on the record, are we in compliance for Wisconsin Open Meetings laws?
We are.
And Supervisor Caro is here as well. And I will pass my gavel to you.
Sounds good. Sorry about that.
Public construction.
What's that?
Public.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, but so. So, all right.
All right, so then future program, nutrition programming at Ruther, McKinley, and Roosevelt.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Like Pam said, it doesn't look like evening.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't.
Thank God for spring in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yes.
And more sunshine.
I'm gonna squeeze in the middle. I'm honored to be here tonight and to meet every one of you. Some of you I met last time. I didn't meet you.
Oh, how you doing?
Good, thanks. My name is Ness. I am the nutrition educator with Foodwise in Racine and Kenosha. I have been doing a nutrition educator at high school in Ruther. This is the third series I'm doing. I did it January through March and started April all the way through June. I'm doing a program called Teen Cuisine, which is a nutrition series of 6 lessons. And I listed all the lessons for you and all the recipes that we prepare with students on site. So students enjoy this program because this is a hands-on cooking for them. So they truly enjoy, and we pick all these recipes that are interesting for them. So the first one is Eat Smart. We talk just general about my plate, and we prepare a set. This is one of my favorite salad or Waldorf salad. It's got mix of fruits and vegetables. And then You Are What You Eat. We try to let them know that what we put in our mouth matters 10, 20, 30 years from now. So we need to make healthy choices, and we make an Italian mixed vegetables. After that, we tell them how important breakfast is, because teens tend to skip breakfast, or they tend to sleep 10 minutes more thinking that that's going to make a big difference and not prepare breakfast. So I always ask them, what is the problem? Why do you guys skip breakfast? They stay up late, but then
go ahead, ask them.
But then we show them a quick recipe, a quick omelet that they can make, and they're like, oh, this was so easy. I say, wake up 10 minutes earlier, you can make a protein-packed breakfast and have a great day. So again, I hope the outcome is good. But then I try to show them even different ways how they can make a healthy breakfast, something grab and go. If they choose to not make the omelet in weekdays, that could be maybe a weekend breakfast. Find the fat. Fat is hidden in our food. Sometimes we don't know where it is. So we try to spot, to show them this is where fat is hidden. So they learn that and how they can make a snack that is very healthy, a bean dip, for example, packed with protein and low in fat. Kick the sugar habit. What do you drink for breakfast?
Sometimes I have like an energy drink.
Energy drink? What else?
Well, I'm one of the teens that skip breakfast.
Okay. Do you replace it with something? Do you drink something? Do you stop on a drive-through and buy coffee?
All I really drink is water.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
When I teach, I see students with their big coffees, and those coffees can have 500-600 calories. And one meal should have 400-500 calories. So they're filling up on something that's empty calories or energy dense versus nutrient dense. So how I compare, I say, instead of having this coffee 500-600 calories, why can't you have something else for 300-400 calories that gives you nutrients? So all those things we bring up. And instead of drinking those sugary drinks, they can make a fruit smoothie, which gives them lots of nutrients and protein. And then the last one is snack attack. Teens live on snacks, on big bags of chips, and Takis are very famous. So I bring the label where we read how much fat, how much salt, how much sugar is in those packages, and they realize that it's loaded. Anything that's processed is very heavy on those nutrients that we really don't need. But what I'm trying to say is that this is part of the culinary arts program where we go and do these classes once a week for 6 weeks in one series. So at Ruther, I've been there about three times. So this is the third series I'm completing. Same thing I'm doing at McKinley and Roosevelt. At McKinley, I have three classrooms. No, actually two. And at Roosevelt, I have three classrooms. They're fifth graders. Totally different world from high school. Fifth graders are so energetic and they just shout the answers and they're engaged, where high schoolers are a little more reserved and you have to pull the answers from them. So it's just different. You just see the dynamics. And what they're learning, of course, we always start with My Plate, because the My Plate is the guide of healthy eating. Second, we teach them how to read the nutrition facts label. And with this program, Show Me Nutrition, this is eight classes, we get in depth into the food groups, five food groups. And at the end, we just have like a closing. We talk about everything we've learned. Also with them, I bring treats or samples that they could try. They try grains or a variety of cereals. They tried jicama. Jicama is a root vegetable. They loved it. And I sprinkled some of the seasonings that they prefer, which is tahine. Do you know about that? Mm-hmm. So I sprinkled jicama with tahine and some lime, and some loved it, majority loved it, versus some that didn't want to try it. It's hit and miss. Next week, we're going to be talking about fruits. And I'll be bringing also fruit samples for protein. When we talk about protein, we talk about food safety, because protein foods usually come from animal sources, and animal sources are the ones that can be very, like cross-contamination can happen. So learning about food safety and cross-contamination during the protein lesson is very crucial, just to tell them to not mix meat and raw foods, or cook the meats to appropriate temperature, cook the eggs, refrigerate them, and those are some basic nutrition food safety rules. Then we talk about dairy food group, the role of dairy in our body, and yogurt parfait is one of their favorite samples that they try. So in general, I always tell them, if you don't drink milk, or you don't eat cheese, or you don't consume yogurt, we will not have healthy bones. We will not have healthy teeth. If we don't have healthy teeth, are we gonna be able to chew the steak? Maybe not. Yeah. Are we gonna be able to chew the crunchy carrots? Maybe not. Or apples. So if you don't have healthy teeth, you're missing on other food groups, which is a cycle. So we need to hit all five food groups in order for us to be healthy and be at best. So those are the schools that I cover right now in Kenosha. And I brought some samples here. Today, I taught them vegetable lesson, if you want to pass them and see these veggies.
You have to really chew those.
Is the green supposed to be spinach, Kale?
It is. I think it's spinach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's spinach?
Yeah, cooked spinach.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
You know, off by the sailor man.
If you were to show that to Woodmans, they'll start charging by the pound.
And the difference, I bring these cards also to show them the amount of vitamins and minerals in vegetables compared to the snacks that they eat. For example, I bring those Takis that they love, the nutrition facts label. And last week I actually stopped at the grocery store and bought a bag and looked at the serving size. Serving size for Takis is 12 little Takis. And I put them in a Ziploc bag. And the next week I went to a class, I said, pass them around. They are like, 12 Takis, are you kidding me? I eat the whole bag. The whole bag is 12 servings. That's around 1,700 calories. And we need 2,000 a day, right? And then we look at the amount of fat and sodium that's in those. So today when I brought these veggies, I said, and I brought these cards, I showed them, if you eat half a cup of carrots, you get 30 calories, that's what it says. But then look at the vitamins that you're getting, vitamin A and vitamin C. Next, I have broccoli. Half a cup of broccoli is 22 calories. And here are the two major vitamins, A and C. Sorry, Erica. Spinach. 1 cup of spinach, 12 calories, and the vitamins. Tomato, 1 tomato, 26 calories, vitamin C and vitamin A. But the best part is,
Where's the Taki chart?
Yeah.
That's what we want to see. That'd be pretty big, amount of calories versus
I didn't bring
zero.
That. The potato, where did potato? Okay.
Oh, there's a big potato there.
The big potato.
Yeah.
I ask them, is this better or fries? Of course, they're going to say fries. Then I have like an activity sheet that compares the big potato, hash browns, and french fries, the nutrition facts label for all three. If you want to pass it, so they can't look. And they should look at all the numbers and identify which one is the healthiest. Of course, baked potato is the healthiest. But then the cooking method matters. What do you put in your baked potato? This is the vitamins of the baked potato before you do anything to it. Once you start adding all those things, this baked potato is not nutrient dense anymore. It's energy dense. You slap the butter and salt and anything, whatever, I don't know, bacon bits and all that. Or you choose to go get fries, this is what happens.
So I've got a question. Does that include eating the peel or the skin of the baked
the
potato?
The first one, the baked potato is the skin.
Right, because a lot of times they just
skin.
Dig it out and leave the skin. It's like, no, you can't eat the skin.
Yeah. Nutrients for the skin.
But and that's usually in fiber. I don't see fiber listed here because I think the point is showing them vitamins and minerals.
Yeah.
But the skin is full of fiber and nutrients as well.
Right.
So here's the difference. I show them this and then I slide this other one. They're like, whoa! And the first one here is fat. So here is the fat. They react. I hope that they take away something. They are impressed. They like it. They look forward to these lessons. we just pray that they learn from them. And also, when I passed those veggies for you, I did spread some germs on those. Fake germs. So now I want to do a test and see how those germs did spread all around. If you don't mind turning that light off. All right, now I want to see your hands. I'm going to start. This is me. All this, these lines are my germs. All right, I see right here. Let's see how far did they go. Oh, look at that.
Actually, she did a little check.
There you go.
Oh,
wow, look at that.
Should we go wash our hands now, or what?
You can. No, they're not real germs. Yeah. Okay, so, look at that.
Glowing. Yeah.
Wow. Pretty good experiment, huh? BJ? A little bit right there? Right there?
That's probably how much you touched the vegetables.
All right.
You
know, okay. Have a lot. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Wow. Pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. Right there.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
That's right.
Oh, interesting.
Look at me.
It's one thing about
I see. I just saw the eggs. I just grabbed it like
good
this.
To go. Oh, yeah. Looks like you.
A little bit right here.
You guys got all before we did.
Oh, that's right here.
Oh, the thumb got it.
And I'm sure Pam has a lot because I infected her.
The test.
Her pen. I transferred those in her pen. Right there.
Oh, yeah. And then we said between my fingers.
Oh,
yeah,
look
where
at
I hold
that.
It. Yeah, well, I don't know about that one. But, yep.
Right here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for doing this experiment, not knowing that you are being experimented.
Yeah.
But it does
kids
show how
love this experiment. They get so excited. They want to see. And then I make them shake their hands between one another, and they love that. And that's how they realize that, wow, this is how we transfer germs from one to another. Then, of course, they want to wash their hands as soon as possible because they freak out. But overall, I enjoy teaching them as well as my colleagues. We want to grow more. We want everybody's support. How can we reach more communities, more schools, more parents? How can we make a change in the community? So if you have any ideas or any suggestions how you can improve our program, we're open to your suggestions and collaboration. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me or anyone in our office or to Pam. We'd be happy to help. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to be here tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good stuff.
Erica's now. Do you do, you know, you've just got Ruther, McKinley, and Roosevelt here, I see. Is that a rotation? Do you go to different places every year, or how does it work out? How do you choose where you go?
In past, these are the schools that I worked for because I'm funded with FNAP, which is a different program from SNAP, whereas my colleagues that are funded from SNAP program, they go in other schools. So these are the schools that I go to, and they go to others.
Okay. So do you hit every school in the county, or is it maybe
no.
half?
No,
maybe
depending on the eligibility, because they have to qualify at 50% or more to be on free or reduced lunches. So those are the schools that we go to.
Okay. How long have you been doing this?
I have a nutrition degree. but with Foodwise, I've been for 3 years.
Okay.
I've worked in healthcare before.
Okay. And is this a perpetual thing with Foodwise, or is it dependent upon grants that have to be applied for every year?
It is an ongoing thing, yeah.
Okay. Sometimes it's not grant funded, it's federal government funded, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Just that.
That's why there's the eligibility, the income eligibility requirements on it, or criteria, I should say.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The curriculums might change. We're planning to change this strong nutrition with something different, because this is a little bit outdated. But even if it's outdated, just some of the papers might be outdated. Whereas I know what's outdated, so I replace it, and my colleagues. But I think the Foodwise wants to replace this curriculum with something new called Kids in the Kitchen. We have not received it yet, so we'll see.
I always curious about that. How does food and the stuff that's in food become outdated? You know, it's
the label.
Or is it?
It's the label.
I see.
Every 5 years, USDA does changes. They do changes. So based on research, what changed before, they did not show the amount of sugar. If you look at an old nutrition facts label, they just show total sugars. New labels show total sugars and added sugars. Added sugars is what we add. For example, those Pop-Tarts. Pop-Tarts have strawberry jelly in the middle, right? That's made from real strawberries. But the crust, you add sugar, right? So the sugar in the crust goes under the added sugar, whereas total sugars would go under, like the natural sugar would be under total sugars. So some changes have been made. Those are not outdated. And when I teach, I try to bring my own labels, the ones that are new. Like when I see someone eating snacks, I'm like, can I take that label from you? I take it home, clean it. So when we go to schools, we show them those labels. Just as an example of, hey, look at what's in this label. And the portion size versus serving size. That was not in the new label, in the old label. It is in the new label, because people think that serving size is what I think my serving size is versus what's recommended.
Right.
So.
Okay. Supervisor Michelle?
What I was going to say is, I think a lot of folks get caught up on the trying to think of a softer word, but eating healthy is intensive. It takes effort. It doesn't happen naturally. It's not convenient as a bag on the shelf or a prepackaged bag from the drive-through window. So showing people healthy alternatives doesn't always mean it's easy to adopt those behaviors, some more than others.
Right.
I need my 3 scoops of ice cream at night. I mean.
More convenient than grabbing an apple?
No, more perverse.
Oh, yeah. I was saying, it's food for the soul.
It can be, and coming from a nutrition background, I say you should not avoid any foods. You can't, it's very hard. The more you limit someone, the more they're going to want that thing. So there is room for everything, but instead of having maybe 3 scoops, you can have 1 scoop. And sometimes just eating it slower, it gives you that satisfaction.
I had 2 scoops last night, but it was on top of rhubarb crisps. So
but again, if you do it once in a while, it's acceptable. It just we don't want to create the habit of doing that every night.
My point is, healthy eating is a commitment more than it is an easy desire, because it does take work. It's not convenient to go to the grocery store and select from the fruit and vegetable aisle point you can select from the prepackaged crunchy snacks that go straight to the brain because it's crunchy, it's desirable, it's fun, it's easy. And the flavors are high intensity designed also to bring you back for more, right?
Yeah, it's so amazing.
Yeah, the portions get larger and larger. But as a, I want to say as a society, as a economic class, we tend to steer people a direction because it's profitable, it's easy, it's convenient, and we all fall to our lessers unless there's something that drives us.
Unfortunately, we prioritize other things. We do not prioritize things for our own health. That is very unfortunate. And the only time we make a change is when we get diagnosed with something.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. Yeah. Fear response.
Yeah, fear.
The other thing I see is a lot of times folks don't feel confident in their ability to cook. Oh, it's complex, it's difficult, it's hard. Cooking isn't any of those things. Cooking is just an exercise. You learn to do it. But if you said to do, you teach people to do a little bit, then they do a little bit more. So
exactly. And just starting with very easy recipes, like when we did this yogurt parfait for breakfast, how hard can it be? You just put the yogurt in a bowl, and I defrosted some frozen strawberries, and I even give them tips, like if it's frozen, don't put the whole strawberry there. Smash it a little bit, because once you smash it and you mix it with yogurt, it tastes better. Because a frozen strawberry, if you just bite into it, it's not going to taste as good. And then we put a little bit of granola and ask them, how many food groups are there? You have dairy, which is good for your bones. You have strawberries, lots of vitamin C for your immunity. And grains, lots of fiber and other vitamins. So again, going back at those five food groups, getting a variety. That is very easy, but teens don't want to do that.
A teaspoon of fun.
Yeah.
I was, when you were saying that earlier, I was curious, do you also teach them how to clean up after themselves? Because that's what I see after they get
I have that problem at home, I should say. Not in school. They do clean up, at, like the teachers make them clean,
yeah.
Wash the dishes and everything. But my kids fall in that category.
Kind of building off what he was saying, I think from a youth perspective, oftentimes we're limited in what's available to us because it's our parents buying the food, right? And so what I would recommend to you, especially at the lower level, is as they're sampling these foods, you should just bring like a list of the food that they're going to be trying throughout the whole time and check off, I like this, oh, I like this, and then have a little price, an average price next to it. They can hand it to their parents and be like, I like this. You know, buy this more for me, and then they know how to make it, and they know what it tastes like because you served it to them.
Right. So we do that for teens. We bring the recipe, whatever we make that day, we bring it and give it to them. We don't have the prices, but all these things that we make, they are so inexpensive. Like the bean dip, you buy the refried beans and a jar of salsa, and you mix both of them. You boil, like cook them until it starts bubbling, and that's it. And then you take the little baby bell peppers and we scoop it with bell peppers. So it's a variety. They are excited. They feel empowered when we let them do it. But thank you for the idea too. For the little ones, yeah, they love everything they try. But unfortunately they get the little samples, not like we don't make the fifth graders prepare the food. They just taste it.
Well, even having it in their home and introducing the idea to the to their parents, it changes their world for sure. So.
I teach parents too, and the whole point of teaching parents is to learn what to buy because the future of their kids depends on the parents. The parents are setting them up for future. If the parent buys junk food, kids are going to eat the junk food. If the parents buy the healthy food, kids are going to eat what the parents are preparing. So our parenting classes, we're having a hard time engaging parents. I don't know, after the pandemic things have changed, but we are out in the community trying to recruit as many parents as we can just for that reason, because parents are the providers. We want those kids to be healthy in the future.
I just had a gentleman ask me if I knew how he could get to Walmart. And I said, what do you need to get to Walmart for? Well, I got a free card for groceries. I can't remember the name of the card. I can only use it at Walgreens or Walmart. And Walgreens doesn't have very much for groceries. And I said, well, I'll give you a bus token. You can go out there. It doesn't go to Walmart. And you trying to get across Highway 31 when you're an elderly man, which he was, is taking your life in your hands. You're likely to die. And so I said, well, I'll drive you out there Friday. But
yeah, the transportation.
Transportation and adequate access to healthy food. Yeah, big problem.
My daughter's a kindergartner at Roosevelt, so it'll be a few years till she's in your class, but I'm sure she'll look forward to that.
Oh, yes. Most likely in fall, I will be teaching second graders too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it, and you know, things that I was thinking about as you guys were talking is when you talk about the timing and the eating and stuff, I read an interesting article that said it takes up to 20 minutes for your stomach to tell your brain that it's full. So if you're able to slow down your intake, then you know, you don't consume as much that you don't need the amount of energy, because a lot of times, you know, we, even though we do have some activities, I also read another interesting article about the calories that you burn at rest through the decades has actually gone down, decreased.
Yes.
So just sitting, you know, now the amount of calories you burn today is less, like 20-30% less than it was 40-50 years ago.
That is true, because over time our metabolism slows down as people.
No, I'm not talking about age, just in general as a whole population.
Okay.
It's gone that way.
Chairs are that much more comfortable.
Well, no, I think what it is it's the foods are different and you're getting more concentrated fats and energies in some of the foods that we're getting now, and it's had an effect on your metabolism is what I'm trying to get at. And then there's been more activity in your life, but it's kind of different than some of the other activities that you used to have to do. So basically what they were talking about is as a society, things have shifted and our bodies have changed. And as one of the factors that's leading to us, you know, as a society, consuming more and getting, you know, being on the heavier side, I guess is what I should say. So,
yeah, more energy-dense foods versus
right.
more nutrient-dense.
Right. Yes.
Like that convenience that we're just grab and go.
So I thought it was interesting. They're like, it's not the only thing that's going on, but they're like trying to figure it out.
I don't say it had to do with muscle mass because
no, it was all about activity, the physical activity, and at rest, and the amount of calories that you burned in each,
And also regarding mindfulness, we teach mindfulness as well when you're eating, sitting down at the table, being mindful, slowing down, distractions should be away, because when we're distracted, we're eating more. We don't pay attention how much we're eating. Or if you're eating something from the box, portion it, look at the serving size before, put it in a bowl, sit down and eat just that, and don't take the full bag with you, because
right.
you're more likely going to eat.
So one scoop instead of three, right?
Yeah.
Don't take the whole container of Oreos with you.
I think, you know, as an educator, I think the culture has also been a great influence among the kids these days, especially when you sit in the front of your cell phone or your games and things like that. And if you ask, you know, where the sweet potato comes from, they refer to the can. So cultivating the garden interest from the childhood is very important. I did a program with a bunch of master gardeners. We used to have a community garden at the YMCA ground. During the summer times, kids comes in and they pick all these fresh vegetables, even if it's ripe or not ripe, they sample directly from the garden. And that really spurred up the interest, and they started wanting to eat more vegetables and work in the garden. So once you start cultivating that interest, naturally they will tend to lean towards eating some healthy foods and do more healthy exercises, and talking about the stress and everything, you know, a lot of studies have shown that, you know, the gardening has a positive influence in de-stressing all those things. I think they're kind of shying away, you know, from all those things and spearheading towards more into technology, gizmos and stuff like that. I think we need to go back again to the basic things of gardening and eating some healthy vegetables directly from day one. And plus we hear all these bits of news in the news, like, you know, top 12, instead of healthy vegetables, dirty fruits and vegetables that are contaminated with pesticide. That's what we are reading mostly in the news. And I was surprised because, you know, a few weeks ago I was giving a talk on blueberries, and there you go on CNN, they popped up the news, you know, blueberries added into the top 10 tell dirty fruits actually that use contaminated pesticide. Where you go?
Yeah.
So, you know, and one aspect we're trying to encourage people to eat all the healthy foods and things, another aspect we're seeing the other downside actually, you know, all this contamination is coming in all at the same time.
One of the things it's a very interesting topic, but one of the things my mother-in-law had mentioned early on when, with a baby, for instance, it's probably good to introduce a child, a baby, infant, when they're eating baby food, to pureed vegetables first.
Yes.
Don't give them sugary fruits. Baby food, because the brain gets hardwired sugar. I mean, that's the drug of choice of most human beings. And if your brain gets hardwired to like sugar, it's easy to get addicted to sugar. We all are to one degree or another.
Yes.
And but if you give the child baby food that's less sugary, like a vegetable puree of some sort, mm-hmm. get them to acquire a taste for vegetables early on.
Right.
It's an easier transition than if you've been giving kids sweet stuff, and then all of a sudden they take meat vegetables. It's like, my God, what is this stuff? It's terrible, right?
It's true, yes.
It's hard to do that, and I thought that was a really insightful comment. I never would have thought of that, but it makes sense, you know?
Pediatricians recommend that too.
Give them pureed carrots or
start
whatever.
Start with veggies. Mm-hmm. And start from the green ones, because even carrots
right.
or pumpkin
right.
are yeah. sweeter, but start with green beans or spinach first, and then switch to the other ones.
Yeah.
All right. Any other updates to...
We do. Erica, would you like to start us off?
Sure. So next Tuesday is our youth and governance orientation as well as recognition ceremony for outgoing youth and governance. So we'll be passing the torch next Tuesday. Really exciting to get kind of the new group of youth inducted and send everybody on their way. Last night we had our interviews for the Youth as Resources Board. We had 18 really incredible candidates, and we only have 3 spots open, so it'll be steep competition. I've been tallying up the scores today. So that's exciting. We had a lot of youth from Westosha apply, so unlike Youth and Governance, where we didn't have, you know, representation from that part of the county, we had a lot, and I learned that a lot of the youth that applied were nominated because I had sent out Youth as Resources as well as Youth and Governance when I gave that option for nomination. So a lot of youth from Tremper, I received a long list from Westosha and from Tremper and shorter lists from the other schools, and a lot of youth applied from those lists. So that was good to know that, you know, implementing that was super helpful. So they're going to have their party on Monday, the new youth and the current board members, now going board members, so that'll be exciting. And they'll have officer elections. Those are kind of the 2 biggest things right now. Working with KUSD on our NEA Career and College Pathways program. We had some unfortunate weather this winter, so just looking for a new day to take the youth to Chicago to go to different museums and kind of get a schedule going for the fall semester to be doing some in-school and after-school programming there.
Thank you.
DJ. Pringle activity, what happened with Pringle?
Oh yeah, you're right. So I decided to postpone that to May 27th.
So I was out of town. I ended up being out of town to chaperone. I've been in Washington, D.C. for a week. I was chaperoning a 4-H national conference event with youth from all around the state, meeting their Congress members and working with federal agencies, and that ended up bumping against my plan for that. So we're going to have May 27th is the next one, and so it'll be youth. Obviously, this year's youth will already be done, but it'll be an opportunity for this year's youth and next year's youth to join together and work on the invasive species work day at Pringle Nature Center. So look forward to a flyer from me on that. You're all more than welcome to come. They kind of already had a group for the last day too, so it just ended up working better to postpone it and make sure we get more people out there. So that is happening now in May instead.
So last month I didn't attend the meeting, so I just want to give you an update from last month. We started this in an Intro to Gardening series program both in Kenosha and Racine in partnership with the community library in Salem and Kenosha. So far, you know, I presented about like a 4 sessions with them. I have a mixed result in terms of the participant number. It's a free class, so anyone can sign up. So in theory, everyone actually, we have more than 15, 20 people signed up, but in terms of attendance-wise, it drops down half. So, but neither any less aside, but I think, you know, it's a good partnership program. You know, wish we had some more participation here. So also, I had a chance of presenting, working with the Parks Department and presenting to their staff members on the forest status of the Bristol Wood Parks, especially in the Boundless Adventure area. We had some couple of meetings and some concerns regarding to the tree health there. So I offered a presentation and provided technical support to the Parks Department, and they're going to proceed further regarding to that. And I offered a presentation statewide on plant health advising program. We had about like more than 100 people attending statewide. This includes the master gardeners throughout the statewide, as well as some statewide specialists, as well as some educators did attend that program. Last month, I had an opportunity to be at the Wisconsin Public Radio with Larry Mueller, offering a garden talk program, and it was very interesting always attending Larry Mueller's one, because we don't know what kind of questions the audience is going to ask. So from left to right, from fruits, vegetables, you know, turf and trees, you know, so it was really nice to hear actually, you know, from people from Midwest what kind of gardening questions, you know, they ask, you know, so it was really nice to attend those things. I've been working in with the green industry audiences throughout the state. With the Wisconsin Landscape Contractors, Wisconsin Nursery Association, Turf Association, and trying to get a green industry outreach specialist position, because the state was kind of leery about it, whether to fill this position or not, to fund this position or not. So I was able to work with 4 different associations in the state, and finally the state was decided to go forward. So that's really thrilling to have the very first time to have a green industry outreach specialist position. In about next week, the position is going to be closed, and then we're going to have an interview following that. So, it's been a busy last month with trying to coordinate all the tree order, vegetable order, small fruit order, and thankfully, I also had an assistant right now. We hired him last month, in the middle of last month, to help me out in coordinating and planting all these trees and fruit crops, as well as in fruits and vegetable crops as well too. The Arbor Day program went very well. I was very pleasant to, you know, see the wonderful weather, at the same time to see our PETA committee members and the 4-H educators in partnership with the 4-H educators. You know, hosted a wonderful program. Thank you so much for participating. It appreciate it. I had a lot of multiple discussion with the Wisconsin DNR and trying to get some funding support to combat the spotted lanternfly. If you remember, I gave you guys a presentation, say, a couple of months ago. I did approach the DNR folks to fund for the Southeast region, because it's going to be a unique problem here in this part of the region, and it's going to take a multi-county effort, and I tried to have multiple meetings with them. That's the best I can do, but didn't go anywhere, I know that for sure. But I did try. And the Wisconsin Correction Institute in Sturdy One wants me back again to do some gardening program with the inmates there. So I'm back again and teaching them once a week. So again, I'm meeting again this coming Friday with them as well too. I've been working in cross-programming with the Aquatic Species Aquatic Invasive Species Coordinator, Scott, and trying to host an invasive species workshop in the month of June. So that's coming up on its way.
Thank you. Mary was unable to be here tonight, but I do have some programming notes from her. April Safe Kids Strong Families events concluded with great success. Please reach out to her if you have any other suggestions or would like to get involved in 2024. A Planning Ahead virtual series finished in April, and she will be starting an in-person series at Assisi's Homes, the Senior Subsidized Apartment Complex, this month. And Mary is looking for local groups of approximately 10 to 30 adults interested in hosting adult or youth mental health first aid training. So if you have anyone who you think could be interested in that or having her facilitate a mental health program, just let her know. You can contact her or me, and I can always pass it along to her. Would you want to share anything else from Foodwise? Or okay, just want to double check. All right, Carolyn had to leave to go to a swine project meeting, so she has the following. April was a very busy month for the 4-H program. Over 80 kids came out to complete their YQCA, which is Youth for the Quality Care of Animals trainings, in order to earn their certificate to show animals at the Kenosha County Fair. We finished camp planning and enrollment for 3 of the camps, and that closed today. We had a Zoom training session with our teen counselors, and we'll host a 4-hour in-person training workshop this Saturday. She was able to collaborate with BJ for Arbor Day, and she thanks you as well for attending and for participating. Mary worked on the Families Branching Out event, which Carolyn thought went very well. It provided some great marketing opportunities. Carolyn oversaw the 4-H display, but the teen ambassadors performed the activities and marketed the program by telling of their own experiences, which was meaningful. Our teen ambassadors are running the Clover Bud Nights for K-5 through second grade. They planned activities for 44 kids their first night and did a great job. They're also planning summer activities, an entry for the Bristol Days Parade, and marketing activities for the county fair. And finally, almost everyone's main focus right now is the county fair. Most clubs take a break in the summer, but their last meetings are coming up and are all about fair preparation. So that is from Carolyn. And then as far as my updates go, this morning we interviewed 6 candidates for the Community Economic Development Educator position, and we are moving forward with 4, so for a second interview. So I'll keep you updated on that. So we're excited that we had a pool of candidates to choose from, because on the flip side of it, our search for an ag educator right now has not been as successful. So we are going to extend the posting now until May 29th in the hopes that we'll get some more qualified candidates. So I'll keep you posted on that as well. Another from hiring that's taking place is in Foodwise. We have a teaching coordinator position, which is paired with a half-time nutrition educator position, and then also an additional full-time educator position. So Atifa is spearheading that and working to fill those 2 positions. So I'll let you know when those have been filled. And then finally, the annual report is finished. It is going off to the printer. So a little bit later than I would have liked, but we're taking those baby steps to getting it to you sooner. So next month I'll have it for you, because it'll be nice versus, have it ready in electronic copy. I'll have hard copies for you. And that's it for this month.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. We can conclude this part of the meeting. Move on to the next topic. Yes.
Thank you all for your time tonight.
Thank you. I have a little blueberry bush.